This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
I think that's more likely at this stage than the assault weapons ban. But obviously, popular sentiment and support for gun control has increased. It's a period of great flux. More momentum seems to exist now than has existed in a long time for increased gun control measures, tougher gun laws. And I think this is a volatile situation where the NRA is facing, you know, new challenges. It may find that it can't, you know, rely on all the members it's relied on in the past.
Peterson, we're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you for being with us, longtime investigative reporter. We'll link to your piece at the Huffington Post called NRA Gun Control Crusade Reflects Firearms Industry Financial Ties. And I want to encourage people to tune into our inauguration special Monday from 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, and Tuesday to Friday will be at Sundance. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:02. Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with host Lisa Loving. Today's guests are Dr. Jay Klusky and Imani Mohammed, and we're going to talk about the Portland Youth Summit.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the 28th annual Martin Luther King Day event. Keep Alive the Dream, an annual tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., produced by the World Arts Foundation. This year's event will take place at the New Beginnings Conference Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in Portland. KBOO will again broadcast the annual celebration in its entirety. More information about this live broadcast can be found at kboo.fm/2013MLK.
Hi, this is Joanne Hardesty. Join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for a conversation with City Commissioner Amanda Fritz. What are her priorities for this new term? What are your questions for her? Please join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for Voices from the Edge on KBOO.fm Portland.
Good morning. It is 8:06, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, Portland's 7th Annual Youth Summit. It's coming up in February. Youth Organized and United to Help is creating charitable and educational events for our youth, providing resources and workshops using the youth culture as a medium through the five elements of hip hop. We're live in the studio with Dr. Jay Klesky, and we're waiting to be joined by Youth Summit founder Imani Muhammad. She's on her way. Dr. Jay, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Every year we have Imani Muhammad on the air talking about the Youth Summit. It's something that our listeners know a little bit about. It is a, there have been more and more youth summits starting up in the Portland area over the past like 3 years, but what Imani does is completely different from these other people. Can you talk about it a little, Dr. J?
I can talk about it just a little. Imani is very, very, very grassroots. She is very interested, and we are all very interested in supporting youth kind of from the ground up rather than the top down. So rather than, 'cause I've worked with groups of people too who put programs on deciding what the youth really need, and then we'll just present a program and ask youth to come. Imani actually starts from what asking the youth to decide what the youth really needs and asking the community to contribute what the community really needs, and then builds a program from the ground up.
Dr. Jay Klesky, now you're a parent educator. Talk a little bit about the work you do and why is it important for the Youth Summit?
Ah, yes.
Thank you.
Generally speaking, the work I do, I'm an author and I'm an educator. I work with youth and parents, helping prepare youth to meet the challenges of today that they're not being prepared for in the traditional educational system, and helping prepare parents prepare their youth to meet the challenges that they're going to face today. My part in this project is to provide, I do some parent workshops. So where this started is, I think, 7 years ago now, as a youth program. We are now expanding to helping parents also, so parents and youth. Actually, this is going to be the first time that I'm aware of that there are workshops for parents and youth at the same time.
At the same time.
And that's going to be a really tremendous. I'm really excited.
It is exciting. We're talking about the Portland Youth Summit. It's February 9th. It's at Portland State University on the third floor of Smith Hall. This is the fifth year it's been at Portland State. And the theme this year is Be Healthy.
Yep.
Which is it's a pretty exciting theme, actually, because when you think about urban youth, you think about the youth that Imani has worked with over the years. This whole event was launched because of the murder of a youth on North Killingsworth Street. So it's actually kind of a challenge to flip that constant focus on crisis into something that's more proactive wellness. So that's pretty exciting. And I want to read a little bit from Imani's promotional that she has here, and she's going to join us in a minute. According to the American Heart Association, children ages 2 to 19, about 1 in 3 are overweight and obese, 32% of all boys, 31% of all girls. This year, the Youth Summit is introducing yoga, meditation, and mental health awareness. So important. To youth and parents, to bring attention to the value of the mind, body, and soul, and using the roots of hip-hop culture, beginning to develop a universal understanding of music, culture, health, education, and knowledge, all through using the most popular genre of music of all time, as Imani Muhammad is writing in this. And she is going to join us in a minute as soon as she gets here. People get stuck in traffic at this hour. The summit is going to have workshops for, as we already said, parents and youth. The featured workshop is going to be Soulfly Groovement, presented by E-Rocka, which is a mixture of yoga and Zumba. Using the workout CD produced by Stickman, Dead Prez. Stickman was, I think he was a keynote speaker last year. He came to Portland last year and he participated in that event.
Did he
do the benefit for it?
He did the benefit, I believe. Jaziri X was the keynote.
Right.
Last year.
Jaziri X is awesome.
And he was great. He was fantastic.
And again, it goes to,
so many, okay, I'm going to be clear. I've seen a lot of youth summits in the past 3 years, and most of them are convened by different government agencies.
Yep.
I feel like the city of Portland has one that they do in cooperation with the police bureau, and they don't publicize these either, right. Not really. There's the Metropolitan Youth Commission, which is a city of Portland program. They are awesome, and they do amazing things. They have a youth summit, too. But I see what Iman Muhammad does with the Portland Youth Summit. There's always educational workshops. There's usually like a performance, like a talent show, like a competition.
Yes, you know? There is.
So people get the chance to literally put their own voice and their own creativity on the stage, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And these other youth summits are more like you said, it's like the agency organizes it and says we're going to talk about this, and then they wait and see who comes. And but Imani Muhammad's youth summit, it's different. It's like she's getting with the young people and saying, what do you need?
Yes.
And then putting that on the table, as opposed to, this is what you better listen to us tell you about.
More than what do you need, how do you communicate? And Imani, using hip hop, which is where so many of our youth are at, is, it would be almost like, I'm kind of an older dude, and so it would be almost like back in the 60s, my parents' generation putting together something with Frank Sinatra tapes. Not that Frank Sinatra is bad, but they needed to do the Beatles. But because they are, if that makes any sense.
I know, Dr. J. Klusky, I'm like, Frank Sinatra being the headliner at a youth summit is freaking me out a little bit. That would have been, you know what's interesting that you're talking about, though? Frank Sinatra, ties to organized crime. The guy actually was surveilled by the federal government for many years.
Sure.
That is literally something that some of the young people in our community are dealing with. Actually,
yes.
His youth, they would have had, they actually would have had a fascinating conversation about that.
Yes.
The Italian mob versus Crips, Bloods, et cetera,
yep.
rolling 80s.
Yep.
Anyway, so we actually, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're talking about Portland's 7th Annual Youth Summit. It's coming up in February. Youth organized and united to help. Charitable educational events for youth, providing resources and workshops using youth culture as a medium through the five elements of hip hop. We're live in the studio currently with Dr. J. Klusky. He's a parent educator, a parenting educator. He's going to be doing workshops there. And we're waiting for the founder, Imani Muhammad, to breeze in here. I know she's going to any minute. And we do have a caller. We have Joanne on the phone. Joanne, what's your take?
Well, take a breath. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say one. Well, I think I'm going to. I had a granddaughter that was living with me, and she was 2 or 3 years old, and I sensed something had been going wrong in her life, and I would try to ask her from time to time to find out what it is, and she always say, don't talk. Oh, I'm going to cry. Don't talk. Well, I realized I wasn't going to find out if there was anything. And then I realized something in myself that a lot of years of my life, I was, I had that voice inside of me when I wanted to say truth about different things. And a lot of times, I guess I didn't talk. I didn't talk. And this morning, I was like, I'm not going to apologize for being human, but I probably will. And I was listening to Democracy Now! And to Cole on this, about he and other people working on these terrible shootings. And instead of crying right now or after that, I would say, and it reminded me that what I was saying through the years to myself, why does it take people so long to do something right about terrible things? And instead of crying right now, I want to say, and I know this is not your focus, I'm going to say it. I want to say to people, when are you and me going to stop supporting and doing wars?
All right, Joanne puts the big issues on the table as usual. Joanne is basically pointing to the wisdom of children, right?
Yep.
And what happens in the long term when we tell children not to talk? right?
Yes.
Bottle that up inside. And also, I think that Joanne's basically throbbing call for justice there. Why does it take so long to do something right about the things that we do wrong? Dr. J, now, you're a parent educator.
Yes.
What happens in those situations? That's going, Joanne's putting her finger right on your sure. pulse, and that's a hard question. She put it first
right on the
table there.
I think often what happens is young people want to say things, and they can often get shut down. I'll give you an example. If you ask a child, and we ask children from the time they're 5 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? And children are very bright and they're very perceptive. And when a child, an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, says, I want to be a rapper, or I want to be a basketball player, or I want to be a rock star, most adults who ask that question will go, oh, that's good. Very nice. And you really want to do well in education because you know that's really hard to do. You know, so you really want, you know, like get a day job kind of response. And that's true. But the young people have a certain hit off of that. Now, if that same young person says, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, the adult goes, wow, that's great. And the young people learn what answers get adults off their backs. So by the time they're 14, 15, 16, and you ask that young person, so what are your plans? They may just say doctor or lawyer just to shut you up. Because they know that if they say rapper or rock star, what that response is going to be. Mm-hmm. So what I advocate, I encourage parents to do whatever their kids say, as long as it's legal and healthy. I mean, those are like the two broad fundamental needs, requirements, is to just encourage them. Mm-hmm. And then help them find out what it takes to do that. And truthfully, it does take things like education. It does take things like practice and self-discipline and all those things that we as adults want our young people to develop. But rather than try to point them in another direction, use what their real interests are. Become people that the youth believe they can say anything to.
Okay, I'm going to basically open up the phone lines. Listeners, we're talking about the 7th Annual Youth Summit. It's coming up next month at Portland State. And listeners, do you work with youth? Do you have some kind of project we should know about and support? What are the biggest issues facing our young people right now? Joanne brought up this issue of, are young people empowered? Do they have a voice? Are we allowing our young people to say what they need to say is a fabulous question. The theme of the Youth Summit this year is going to be wellness, which is an interesting one to try to teach kids about, because I know that Mark Bittman came out and criticized Beyonce this week because she's doing monster soda pop commercials. And this kind of goes to that. Like, how do we show the kids what they should do? Anyway, give us a call. We want to hear from you. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And I don't know. I want to kind of go back to this parenting issue. When Imani arrives on this show, we'll talk more about the focus that's on wellness. Unfortunately, what I have to say this morning is that, you know, whenever we read about youth, whenever we read about urban youth, it's always a bad headline.
Sure.
And so today, this morning, the headline in our daily newspaper, it's about Parrish Bonetti. Mm-hmm. Parrish Bonetti accused of murdering Yashani Vaughn, and he's accepted a plea deal where he's going to be in prison for 18 years. Yashani Vaughn's family's angry. They want him to never come out.
Sure.
Also, what was the other story? There are a number of stories about youth violence and, of course, gun control. The other big issue that people have been talking about this week is that Davey D and the Hip Hop Corner, he put out there that, you know, there's a concern with gun control laws that are being proposed and debated right now. Will gun control be waged like the war on drugs? That is a huge issue. And again, we're associating violence with urban youth as opposed to, you know, Dr. J. Clark, parenthood, you know, something positive.
Sure.
Parenthood in itself, when it comes to our urban young people, it also becomes a criticism. So, Dr. Klesge, when you work with people, you work with families, what are some of the biggest issues that come up for you? What are people saying in the workshops that you lead?
What people are saying, it's communication is probably the biggest issue. Communication is, I can't talk to my son, can't talk to my daughter, they won't talk to me. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know how to help. Again, when we're talking especially about teens.
And that even goes to what Joanne said about a two-year-old. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right.
So these things maybe are laid down way earlier than the teenage years. Go ahead.
Yes. I hear a lot about the public education system not meeting the needs of many of the children out there. I hear a lot. Certainly, you talk about things like careers and jobs and what are my kids going to do in the future? And there are a lot of those kinds of questions and wonders and issues. I would say those are some of the bigger ones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, those are some of the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're talking about the Portland Youth Summit. It's coming up in February. It's going to be at Portland State, and it's a big event that happens every year. Actually, there's a series of events that happen through the year behind that. And, you know, the phone lines are open. The focus of the Youth Summit this year is wellness. People out there who are listening, what do you think are the biggest ways that we could get young people to be healthy? That's the actual theme of the Youth Summit. It's be healthy. And the one that gets me is when I sit in my office and I watch people walk back and forth from the Rosemary Anderson POIC school and yep. Jefferson High School and some of these middle college students from Portland Community College. And elementary schools at Beach, elementary students that go to Beach School and their bus stop, it's right by a little Handy Mart. And I see a constant stream of young people going there for breakfast before 9, and they're getting energy drinks, great big cans of energy drinks and Red Vines. There's a little boy and his sister that I watched him for the whole year. I think it was in 2010. And he would take that little girl to get something to eat before the bus came. They were like, I want to say they were like 7 and 8 years old. Every day it was the Red Vines and the energy drink. And I thought, how can those kids sit in a chair and listen to someone blah, blah, blah about math? Because I wouldn't be able to.
Oh, they can't. When a couple of years ago, I was looking at I don't drink any of those things. My vice is chocolate. But other than that, I'm relatively don't drink, don't do drugs, don't smoke cigarettes, and you know that don't do caffeine. But I looked at a can of Red Bull and the ingredients, and I thought to myself that in the 60s, you would be arrested for having the contents of that can. I mean, it used to be kind of illegal to carry. Basically, Red Bull is they're Red Bull's speed. Anyway, to answer your question, they can't sit in class. It's not surprising that kids there is an incidence of ADHD. The powers that be say about 3% of our population is ADHD. Fair enough. I've been in schools where 30% of the classroom is medicated. And 3% means maybe one kid in every class?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, the ADHD actually exists. It doesn't exist near in the prevalence that it does. It's not nearly as prevalent.
A lot of it is chemically induced.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so as well. So this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're talking about the upcoming Portland Youth Summit, where the theme this year is Be Healthy. They're going to be introducing yoga, meditation, and mental health awareness. I'd love it if someone asked some questions about that.
Yep.
And we have a full slate of callers. We'll go to the phone lines.
Oh, cool.
We have John on the phone. John, what do you think?
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, so, you know, in a lot of ways, we buy our kids off, and a lot of people would, like, poo-poo the idea of, you know, basically buying your kid off for this reason or that reason, but in so many ways, you do it anyway, and my kid had real low math score, and just recently, I proposed to him that I was going to present him with a math problem. And if he could figure out the answer and explain to me how the answer works, it would be worth a cash prize. And so people pay, like, I don't know, anywhere between 60 on up for cable TV. So, you know, cancel the cable and use that money in the way that I just described.
You're saying set up a system of, what I hear you saying is kind of eliminate the noise from your house, which actually a lot of that commercial messaging is coming from, and then kind of create a system of financial incentives to encourage your kid to better behavior.
Yeah, because, I mean, money right now is a big deal. I mean, people don't have the expendable or disposable cash to throw at their kids anymore. For the most part.
It's funny that you would say that because
he just had a test and he in algebra, and he's been doing poorly. And so when I proposed the math problem to him, he goes, "Well, I'm struggling with math." I go, "Well, you're going to have to get better, huh?"
Okay, we get the idea, John. Thanks a lot for calling. And we have a full slate of callers. We've also been joined in the studio by the rest of our guests. We have Imani Muhammad and her executive assistant. And now, grab this. What's your name?
My name is Erica Brannon, and I'm going to be doing a workshop at the Youth Hip Hop Summit this year.
What is your workshop?
My workshop is on the RBG Fit workout, which is by Stickman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to be leading a workout for everyone in the main hall, which I'm really excited about.
The Soulfly Groovement.
Yes.
Presented by
Iraka.
Iraka, mixture of yoga and Zumba using the workout CD produced by Stickman of the revolutionary group Dead Prez. I think that sounds awesome. I bet a lot of people wish they could come now.
Of course.
Of course.
They should. Of course.
And Imani now.
Yes, ma'am.
Imani's doing four jobs as she sits here, okay? talk about the Youth Summit coming up. We've already given a lot of information about it. Why do you do it, and how did it come about in the first place?
Well, it started with, you know, the death of Devontae Lightfoot. And I heard, you know, earlier this morning you mentioned that a young black male freshman at Benson High School who was murdered. And he was one of my students in middle school. Excuse me. And so when I heard about his murder, it was definitely it shook me, you know, because anytime as a teacher you hear about any youth that you've taught, you know, you don't expect to hear death so soon, you know, a year after you had them. So it just moved me, and I figured that I had to do something in my way of grieving. Yes.
The executive assistant has a few comments. It's totally wonderful, by the
way.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So really just had this idea of let's bring the youth all together that I knew, have a panel discussion, and let the adults, educators, community leaders be in the audience and listen to them for the first time. And so that was the first summit. And here we are 7 years later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what moves me, certainly now that I have my own little child, I want to pass on a legacy to him. Yes.
He knows how to talk in a microphone.
He does.
We've got a place for him at KBOO.
He's ready.
Yes, we do.
But also just there isn't any youth summit in Portland that is for the youth, by the youth, grassroots. You know, brought by the people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people that have come together over the last few years, it's just been amazing. And it's not because they're coming together because of me. They're coming together because there's a vision and they see youth constantly in the community needing outlets. So, you know, after 7 years, I'm moved, I'm humbled. But at the same time, I see that there's a need that we're fulfilling.
Right.
And each year, we find whatever the current event topic is, you know, and that we see in our community, and that's why we chose Be Healthy or Die Trying. That's a kind of a hip-hop phrase from 50 Cent, get rich or die trying, right? But we want to reverse that because money is not everything. So be healthy or die trying, because health, if we're not healthy, no matter what our job is, no matter what we are doing in life, you know, we're not going to have a fulfilling life. You know, our life expectancy, you know, will be 50 and 40 years old and 60. And that's not really, you're just mm-hmm. living when you get to that age. You know,
yeah.
You just figured it out, you
mm-hmm.
know. So that's why we chose the theme of Be Healthy and wanted to touch all the components of what health is, mind, body, and soul.
We're speaking with Imani Muhammad about the Portland Youth Summit. And we do have a couple callers. But before we go there, though, Imani, the big question I wanted to ask you is, you know, a lot of times when it comes to the young people, we're focusing on crisis all the time. And here with this Youth Summit this year, you're trying to flip that around and
yes.
be proactive.
Yes.
That's kind of a hard thing to do. Have you had challenges with that? Are people hearing, are people taking away the gems that you're putting on the table around wellness?
I think there's always that first response. I wouldn't say they can take it away because, again, I think everything that we do is divinely orchestrated. So, but there is always that first comment. Well, gosh, did you hear about this? You know, or like you mentioned on the, I think it's the Oregonian, was it today, or Parish? You know, just there's always a need for whatever it is in society and in community to always focus on the negative. So there's always that first comment, you know, when I'm out and about doing flyering or whatever, you know, oh, what's your topic, you know, or what's your focus, or are you going to address the shootings? It's like, yeah, we will in a backdoor way in terms of being positive about it. It's like we definitely believe in the prevention aspect. If we give the youth the resources, the ideas, the attitudes, the tools for them to be able to maneuver, they won't choose the negative route because the negative route is just an option in their mind. They don't see anything else. So it's about giving them the positive options, allowing them to have those avenues, and then being there to support them along the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like you mentioned earlier, you know, we tell them what they need to do.
Right.
Well, guess what? They have a mind of their own. You know, they're creative. Did you know that? You know, my son is 10 months or going on 10 months. He certainly has a mind of his own. And if I start trying to insert, hey, you need to do this, he's going to tell me what he wants to do. So as they grow 5, 6, 12, 18, let's allow them to say what they want to do. And then we as adults are supposed to be there to foster and nurture that environment.
That's to you, Joanne, and thank you for being the first caller and putting the hard questions on the table week after week, Joanne. So, yeah, we are trying to let the little kids have a voice and not tell them not to talk, even here in this wacky, wacky air room. This is KBOO Community Radio. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host. My name is Lisa. We are talking about the Portland Youth Summit. It's coming up, I want to say, February 9th at Portland State University at Smith Hall. And we're live in the studio right now with Imani Muhammad. She's the Youth Summit founder. We're with Dr. Jay Klusky and Erica Brannon, and the exercise thing is wild. So we have another caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Excuse me? Ross is on the phone. Ross, what's your take? I'm sorry, Ross. Go ahead.
Well, I think either of you guys can probably come up with coherent answers to my question. But setting the stage for kind of where we're at, we have a new chief education coordinator for the state of Oregon,
Dr. Rudy Krug,
and said that he wants to make education more like a business. And so with that kind of as the foundation in Oregon right now, I recently heard a TED talk with an educator who's been teaching this class called the World Peace Game, and he teaches it to 8, 9, 10-year-olds, and they are all tasked with critical thinking, and they're each given distinct roles to play in this world peace game, and there's no rules. They come up with how to make world peace, and I think that the description of his teaching method and kind of his active role in encouraging critical thinking and problem solving, and also some of the side comments he makes about allowing children to dream to be anything, mm-hmm. you know, that in and of itself, along the critical thinking part, along with the role modeling of, you know, do we want our children to follow in our footsteps where the biggest industries are mineral extraction, oil extraction, banking, and the death management system called healthcare. So do we really want to teach our children how to recreate the world that we live in, or do we want them to imagine a better world and then have the power to make it? And can we do that in a system that we make look more like business? Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
Do we have to make it look like business? I don't know. Anyway, thanks a lot for calling, Ross. Ross, again, he's putting some of the big questions on the table too. He's kind of talking about we're all on a hamster wheel of doom with our industries, with our, you know, lack of sustainability in our society. So how do we change that? I mean, I think that's a big issue that a lot of people have. And when you're talking about, you know, to me, okay, Michelle Alexander's going to be in Portland. Is she going to be in Portland this week or next week? Talking about the new Jim Crow, a lot of people, you know, looking at what the prison industrial complex has mm-hmm. done to our communities, to our society.
Sure.
And it even makes us, we look around and we don't even see the reality of what people's futures are. I wanted to go to Erica Brannon. and ask, so as we're looking at these deep issues, these deep, they're even political issues, how is it, why is it important for people to get in touch with exercise, get in touch with exercise that speaks to them? Because what I, when you're talking about an exercise video by Stickman, that tells me that it's more than physical content, it's got mental content. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that, the workout and the mental workout?
Well, I feel that for me personally, I've loved hip-hop all my life, and I've never heard an album that was geared to so many pertinent things that are happening in the community for everyone, but particularly for youth and African-American youth, Latino youth, Asian youth. We don't focus a lot around nutrition and health, and everything else is pretty much, you know, force-fed to us in the media. And so when I heard it, a friend of mine said, oh, you're going to love it. You have to listen to this. This is, it's going to make you want to work out. And I have a dance background. I'm a certified NEA white belt. I use a lot of different African dance, modern jazz. And so for hip-hop, there's really not a soul, spirit, digging deep essence that is taught in the class. It's more of like, this is the move, do the move. When I heard the Stickman workout, I immediately was like, okay, this is it. This is what's going to make people understand. Once you hit a part in the workout, you start to feel and listen at what he's actually saying. And what he's actually saying is, you know, mental health, physical health, spiritual health is all one.
I'm waving my arms because you said mental health, mental health. Okay, a moment of reality.
Okay.
I'm perimenopausal. And people don't talk about menopause on Facebook, okay? They don't.
No.
They don't tweet about it either. I'm here to tell you that they don't. And one thing that I never understood about menopause is that it's the opposite of adolescence.
Right.
It's like adolescence, here come the hormones. Mm-hmm. And they jump up and down. Mm-hmm. And menopause, their hormones jump up and down, and then they leave.
Yes.
And I have days.
Right.
Where I'm walking down the street and I don't feel right.
Right.
And I know it has nothing to do with anything. It's like these issues around mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 2-hour period
right.
in the month of December where I had a mental health problem.
Right.
And it would involve deep anxiety attack.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with anything.
Yep. Right.
And you might be looking at me, people, and going, why is she talking about this?
No.
It impacts so many people. And so if we can get in touch, it took me a long time to figure out it was my hormones, okay?
Right, right.
It shouldn't have. Hello.
Right. Right.
How many women have been through menopause since human history?
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. But it's like we all have places to reach into. We should all be able to hold hands on the mental health issue. And people, by the way, Stickman workout video, that's STICMAN, I believe.
Yes.
If you're looking for that. I want to make a couple announcements. Tonight, are you all sitting down? I need to know you're sitting down. Tonight, that's Wednesday, January 16th, KBOO broadcasts the talk by Michelle Alexander on the new Jim Crow. It's a live broadcast by KBOO tonight. Michelle Alexander on the new Jim Crow, racism in the criminal justice system, along with a community forum on police and the Portland community. That's tonight on KBOO from 5:30 to 8.
Nice.
So don't be shy. Yeah. I expect everybody to be on these airwaves. I also have to say, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, host Jennifer Kemp interviews Evelyn Al-Sultani, Associate Professor at the University of Michigan, about her book, Arabs and Muslims in the Media, Race and Representation After 9/11. Big issues there. Mm-hmm. At 9:30, KBOO's Jenkins Soderberg speaks with Sunseer Shakur, who is helping to organize relief efforts in Far Rockaway in Queens, New York, where 10,000 people still remain without power.
Wow.
I always thought people in New York City must be rich, but they're not.
Right.
Anyway, at 10, it's Eric Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's a Flashpoints. Dr. Helen Caldicott is going to be speaking on the medical and ecological impacts of the multiple meltdowns at Fukushima. And Lisa Graves of PR Watch talks about the power of the gun lobby. At 10 on The Food Show, Chris Siegel talks with Holly Hughes. She's the editor of Best Food Writing 2012. And Kate Welch finds out how the updated Farm Bill impacts small farmers, from Chuck Hassebrook of the Center for Rural Affairs. Thanks for listening to KBOO Radio, and thanks to all you listeners who are members. You know, you go through just a morning of programming on KBOO, and it touches the issues that you have coming up on this one event.
Yes.
Imani,
yes.
Now, I know you're busy. She's very busy. And Imani, talk a little bit. Now, the Youth Summit that's coming up in February, that's one event, but you do other events through the year. Talk about all the things that you do behind this effort.
Well, we started in the summertime a few years back. We decided to do a fundraiser for the Youth Summit, which is called the Peace and Unity Fest. And so that also has brought a different crowd and a different awareness to the summit. And then actually starting last year, because of our partnership with Portland State University and an actual professor, Alma Trinidad, which I have to give her a shout out because she has definitely supported the summit ever since she moved here from Hawaii. She and I have partnered up on a little kind of small grants with research and how to develop youth leaders, how to look at the educational system. Is it affecting, or how is it affecting youth of color? And so her and I have done a few projects, but in that project over a year ago, I was able to get a few contracts doing workshops with different organizations. So this past, well, 2 years in a row, I did youth workshops at the Black Parent Initiative's Parent Symposium, as well as partnering up with them doing a 8-week youth workshop, side-by-side their parent workshops at three different locations. So each year we've grown in terms of our nonprofit. We started obviously just doing nonprofit events for the youth and making them free, and now we're because there's a lot of there's a big void in terms of good, I would say, youth programs and programs that are actually effective. So we have been able to kind of get into the school systems through different organizations and provide workshops for the youth. And we actually have some new things kind of coming up for year 2013. And I won't announce them quite yet, but it will be announced at the summit. So, stay tuned.
I like babies. I like being in the room with babies. I just want to put that out. I'm glad there's a baby in this room right now. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're talking about the Portland Youth Summit. It's coming up in early February. We're live in the studio with founder Imani Muhammad, Dr. Jay Klusky, parent educator, and Erica Brannon. I'm going to just call you a community organizer.
I'm actually a community health worker.
Really? Okay, so that's why you know a little bit. You know a little bit about the moving around, good for your head thing.
Yes.
Now, a number of people have touched on some of the issues that are in the news. Ross talked about Dr. Rudy Crewe. Mm-hmm. You talked about this issue around how, you know, what is the education system doing to the young people, which is a huge concern. The cover story on the Woolly Week today is about Dr. Rudy Crewe, and I didn't have a chance to read it yet. I just scanned it, but the headline says, you know, Governor Kitzhaber hired Dr. Rudy Crewe to demolish the education system. What are we going to do after that? Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. But I often, you know what? We have a caller. Let's go to the phone line, see if that person's still there. We have Sean on the phone. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Back in 1998, Cornel West and Sylvia Ann Hewlett published a book called The War Against Parents, and they actually had a parent's bill of rights in the book. I'm looking at it right now. It has things like, number one, time for their children, paid parenting leave, family-friendly workplaces, a safety net.
Wow.
And it just goes on and on and on like that. And this gets to the heart of my question, which is, what do you think is behind this push to get people to blame themselves? It seems like that's the most important topic we're dealing with in this subject is that, you know, this people are under this external attack. They've had deregulation, deunionization, deindustrialization. Families have been devastated, and yet there's this big push on to get people to blame themselves and have an internal, you know, have this sense of internal locus of control as opposed to external locus of control, where you know, oh, I'm making bad choices, so-called, as opposed to I'm being utterly devastated and destroyed from these external economic forces. Mm-hmm. And so my only concern about the summit is that it seems like there's a big push to get people to blame themselves for quote-unquote bad choices as opposed to organizing, uniting, and struggling politically to achieve what we're all entitled to.
All right, Sean. Let's we'll take that to Imani.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. It's interesting what he brought up about the self-blaming thing, because I feel like that's part of the conservative liberal dialectic. It's like, and our... this idea of dialectics, it's like ideas that together create a balance. Our political system in this country, there is no real dialectic. It's kind of broken, I think. It's kind of messed up. But I actually, I hear what he's saying about the self-blaming, but I think when I see you and the Youth Summit, I feel like it's the opposite of self-blaming. I see you basically saying, okay, this is the banquet table. We're putting all these things on there. Come and check them out. Are you interested? That's what I hear you saying. Right. Talk a little bit about that, though. He's got his fingers on the pulse about this issue about the self-blame, and I wonder if that drives the constant negativity, always coverage about the violent stuff.
Right. I mean, he definitely brings up a valid point. However, the summit does not address what he's saying in that sense, in terms of the self-blame. I think what's reality is knowing that media, social media, television, all of those things play a part in terms of shaping our minds. And so it is, we can say that, you know, someone does make a bad choice, but then let's look at the roots of how those choices are developed. Again, back to if they're not given the proper resources, they, meaning youth and adults, are not given proper resources, not given avenues, not given tools in their toolbox, if they're not learning how to cope. You know, Dr. Jay can talk about, you know, in terms of parenting, changing the attitude. So if those things are not in place, then people will make bad choices, for lack of a better word. But I don't believe that the need to say that someone made a bad choice is now we have to spend time on your bad choice. No, the work is, okay, you made a bad choice, but how do we look at what you made? How do we look at the outcome? And then let's prevent that from happening in the future. But all of us have made so-called bad choices in life, right? But we're the total culmination of our choices here and now. So whatever your choice is, you still have that future, as long as you're breathing, to make a change. So the summit completely is the opposite of that. The summit provides options, resources, networking, avenues, you know, what people would call alternative education, right? That's what is happening at the summit, you know, on a entire full day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. with the talent show ending. You know, so no, I'm not into blaming, you know, ourselves. I'm not into us talking about our issues in that sense.
Wasn't it last year or was it the year before that there was a segment that was about, it was about dealing with paranoia, kind of. Did Mike Crenshaw do that?
Mike Crenshaw, that was a few years ago.
A couple years ago, and I thought that was so... so remarkable, because so many of the young people I know, they literally can't walk down the street without the police stopping them. Where my office is, I see this happen all day long. And God bless your heart, Portland Police Department. Anyway, what I'm saying is I felt like that really got my attention. And I'm not remembering the exact title of it.
Paranoia versus clairvoyance.
Thank you. He was basically, that's right, paranoia versus clairvoyance. I felt like what he was getting at was what's reasonable and what's not.
Right.
Can you reasonably expect to be able to walk down the street or not? And can you get ahead of trouble that might be following you around in a way that it, can I say this, does not follow anybody else around?
Right.
Society. I thought that was a really remarkable thing. And when we're talking about the Youth Summit, what also amazes me is how many people come and what it just looks like. I bet there's a few people at Portland State that freak out a little. Not meaning to be a weirdo, but I bet they do.
Because
you're talking about hundreds of young people.
Right. And adults and their families. And, you know, we have the talent show. In the years past, it's been before the summit, but this year it's after the summit. And that always brings a different crowd, too, because for whatever reason, you know,
it's people very celebratory,
right? People don't want to come to the workshops, although we're changing that this year. You should be there. And then, you know, then they want to see their little, you know, little baby singing on the microphone or dancing. So the talent showcase is definitely a different vibe, and that usually brings, you know, 150 200 people just to experience, like you said, the celebratory event of, you know, the summit and all the work that we've done. So whatever part of the summit that you can participate in, I think everyone, and I know everyone, will get something out of it. So whether it's the workshops or whether it's coming to the talent show, you definitely want to be a part, because there's nothing like it in the city.
No, I don't think there is either. It is 8:50 a.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're talking about Portland's 7th Annual Youth Summit. It's coming up in February. Youth organized and united to help is creating charitable and educational events for youth, providing resources and workshops using the youth culture as a medium through the five elements of hip-hop. Can we get, what are the five elements of hip-hop? Call them out.
DJ, B-boy, graffiti, the MC and the fifth element is knowledge.
All right. You heard it here. We're live in the studio with Imani Muhammad. She's a Summit founder, Dr. Jay Klusky. He's a parent educator. And Erica Brannon, who is a health educator and a community organizer. I'm just calling you a community organizer because I can see that that's what you do.
Thank you.
You know what I really like about now watching the evolution of the Youth Summit now over these years? Because I feel like I met you, was it almost 5 years ago now?
It's been 5 years.
The Youth Summit was a little toddler then.
It was.
And now the Youth Summit's in elementary school.
Yeah.
it's interesting to me to see how now you're wrapping parents into it because parents didn't really want to stay away in the first place. And sometimes it's like if you're doing something for young people, not in every community. Some communities want to drop their kids off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you do such cool stuff. You know that the moms and dads want to come. And so what was it that made you decide to just start incorporating the parents? They must have been asking you to.
They were, definitely. And then also, again, there's so much work in the community that is directed just to youth, and you could have a youth and they could just be on, you know, you teach them all types of stuff or they, you know, you're vibing with them. Then they go home to an environment that doesn't foster what you just had with them, you know, for lack of better words. So I'm kind of tired of the whole segment piece. Like, let's just deal with the parents. Let's deal with the youth. How about we deal with family? Like, is that, you know, is that just state of the art right now? So that was really the motivating factor in terms of us saying, let's have the parent workshops side by side. And when it was the fourth year, I think it was 2009, I traveled to Chicago for an annual event called Savior's Day. And it's an annual event that has, it's family oriented, there's parent workshops, there's youth workshops. And I took that model and brought that back. So when we were first at Portland State and we added the workshops, that's the model that I use. So each year I've been trying to figure out how to add the parent piece. So we added the parent piece 3 years ago. The first year was a flop because we just didn't really advertise as much. And then it's been growing ever since. So that's the whole motivation is that you have to have family and you have to have that as your motivating factor and give parents the same tools and resources that the youth are getting so that when they go home together, it's not just, well, I learned this. It's like, what did we all learn and how do we incorporate that in our families?
So they can reinforce it.
Right.
And reinforce it. We are talking about the the Portland Youth Summit. Let me give you that specific information. We're starting to run out of show. And I was wondering if anybody who is listening maybe does work with youth, anybody who's listening have some kind of project we should know about and support. We want to hear from you. We've just got a few minutes left. Are you doing something with young people that you need help with? You need to give us a call, 503-231-8187. And we're starting to run out of show. Imani, now every year you have a theme, okay? Mm-hmm. You've covered a lot of ground. I think you have. Of all of the issues that you've taken on in the Youth Summit, is there one issue that just jumps out at you? Or is there one piece of what our community kids are dealing with that people should just be starting to dial into? Is there something that really stands out?
Well, the obvious, again, is the health piece. I mean, we have seen so many shootings in our, you know, in the last few months, the shootings, the devastation in terms of the, you know, hurricanes or disasters. And all that's dealing with is the psyche of the mind of individuals. You know, when you look at the school shootings, I mean, these were babies that experienced what, you know, devastation looks like and violence looks like. What are they going to look like 5 years from now if they don't get the proper counseling and the proper, you know, debriefing and all of that happening? It's like, I don't want to say this, but could the next, you know, shooter come up out of that environment if they're not given the right tools?
One of
you know?
The things that gets me about Portland is how many people I know, specifically in the African-American community, that are survivors of a murder.
Right,
people who have
right.
someone in their family that was murdered.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't mean to, this is really awkward, but among white people, they go get counseling. Okay,
right,
it's
sure.
a big deal, and people and
it's
they tune in, they watch TV,
sure.
they do Dr. Phil about stuff like this
right,
in
right.
the black community, and
right.
I think this is true in the African community too. People have seen it so close, and it's almost like
because,
people hunker down,
and it's because we're in a survival
mode
mentality.
Times.
We've been in that for years, so yes, we've experienced that, but we have to keep moving because bills have to get paid.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So that's why we're dealing with a mental health workshop where the presenter Rochelle Hart Rodizi, spoken word artist. is going to cover the stereotypes that come with mental health, especially in the Black communities, because it's a stigma. You know, we don't want to go get help, or that's, you know, we look at the young person, the person that we know is a little off, and we're just like, oh, we throw them to the side. No, right. That person may need medication.
It gets
to a point. So to me, the health piece is the obvious topic that is overwhelming because of the psyche and the individuals and their minds, but also the underlying piece that happens at the summit is the networking piece. I mean, the fact that I'm in the room right now with you, Dr. J, Erica, I mean, this is all community organizing, this is networking, and this is how we get things done and we get change to happen in the city of Portland and all over the nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will also speak a little bit to the mental health piece of
Please,
this.
Please, thank you.
If you take an athlete, an elite athlete, and this athlete gets a little out of shape, that little out of shape is so much better he's in so much better shape than the average person. It's silly, but that athlete knows, wow, I'm off.
Right.
When we look at mental health, it's not so much as disability or dysfunction. It's like I'm using my hands now, which the audience can't see, but there's a zero point, which below, there's illness there. But above which, there's great health there. And people traditionally look at mental health as just getting up to the zero point, rather than going beyond that to be really mentally, emotionally strong, which is beyond, oh, I'm sick, or oh, ADHD, or whatever, let's just fix it. It's let's get to a lead athlete status with our mental, emotional states.
Right. Mm-hmm. Supreme.
I never thought of that.
Me either.
Thank you.
Ouch. Yeah. Wow. Okay. It's the Youth Summit. We're running out of show. I want to give the talking stick back to Erica. Erica, what's the important thing that people should know about the Youth Summit? And is there any way that just everyday people that are listening right now could hook in with your exercise?
Yes, definitely. I teach Thursday nights on Alberta, 9th and Alberta. It's Quake and Grass Studios.
Oh my God, you're at the Quake and Grass?
Yes,
I know
where
that is.
So I teach Thursday nights, 5:30 to 6:30. I do Soulfly Groovement. And it's a mixture of all types of things. Sometimes there's dance hall all night. Other nights it's Bollywood music. Some nights it's just Mary J. Blige. And sometimes it's Stickman RBG Fit Workout. What I would like to say as the show closes is that in my workout that I'm going to be presenting at this workshop, I'm going to talk about a lot about addiction and how and coping and how to get through versus just going over or mushing aside, but how to use the body as a tool, as a somatic tool to move through anything that we're going through to wellness. So I invite everyone to come out. If you're ever interested about a class, this will be the time.
All right. And Imani Muhammad, can you give us a website to find out more about the Youth Summit?
Yes, portlandyouthsummit.org. You can register for free. Parents and youth, go to the website immediately now and register your youth and your parents. Again, portlandyouthsummit.org.
Great. Thank you. That's it for our show. Thanks to our guests, Imani Muhammad, Youth Summit founder Dr. Jay Klusky and Erica Brand, and more on their work at portlandyouthsummit.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on the show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for Political Perspectives. Hey, dudes, 5:30 tonight, Michelle Alexander Live, the new Jim Crow. Be there. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 100.7 FM, Corvallis in Albany. The time is 9 o'clock straight up. Coming up next on Political Perspectives, your host, Jennifer Kemp, interviews Evelyn Al-Sultani, Associate Professor at the University of Michigan, about her book, Arabs and Muslims in the Media, Race and Representation After 9/11. At 9:30, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg speaks with Sincere Shakur, who is helping to organize relief efforts in Far Rockaway in Queens, New York, where 10,000 people remain without power. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, Dr. Helen Caldicott speaks on the medical and ecological impacts of the multiple meltdowns at Fukushima. And Lisa Graves of PR Watch talks about the power of the gun lobby. At 11 o'clock, it's The Food Show with your host, Kate Welch.
Hi, this is Joanne Hardesty. Join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for a conversation with City Commissioner Amanda Fritz. What are her priorities for this new term? What are your questions for her? Please join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for Voices from the Edge on KBOO.FM Portland.
On Wednesday, January 16th, KBOO will broadcast the talk by Michelle Alexander on the new Jim Crow, racism and the criminal justice system, along with a community forum on police and the Portland community. Listen to the talk live on KBOO Radio from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. this coming Wednesday on 90.7 FM and also heard on the web at kboo.fm.
And get together, break up this old Jim Crow. Break it up now.
Hi, this is Jennifer Kemp for KBOO's Radio Zine. I'm going to be speaking to Evelyn Al-Sultani, Associate Professor in American Culture at the University of Michigan, and author of the book Arabs and Muslims in the Media, Race and Representation After 9/11. Debunking the commonly